Good morning and welcome to this service. We're gathered here today to celebrate with thanksgiving the life of Doris Elcox, to remember her and time spent with her. And of course, we feel the sadness of parting, and our loving sympathy goes out to all the family at this time. But today we also gather here to celebrate her life and all that she was to each of you. All of you, by your presence here today, demonstrate the love, regard, and respect in which you held Doris. And your presence and the thoughts and prayers of everyone are a great comfort and support to the family at this sad time. As for me, I remember her 100th birthday, when folks from this church went round with flowers for her, and there was a piper playing in the street, and friends and neighbours were all out there to wish her well. And that's the memory I have of her. But whilst she was taken into hospital in the last few hours of her life, we are really grateful that she was able to spend her days in the house which had been her home for so long. It was a real blessing for her. You will see on the order of service that there's an invitation to refreshments after the service at the crematorium at Houston House Hotel. And so we come together to worship God, to give thanks, to share our sadness and sense of loss, and to support one another by our presence and our prayers. At times like these, we look to God, who is our strength and in whom is our hope, for we are promised life does not end with death. The psalmist said, "One thing I ask of the Lord, it is the one thing that I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So now let us worship God and give thanks in the singing of our first hymn on the order of service, and we stand to sing If You Are Able. Please be seated. And now let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we, your children, call out to you now because we need you. So much happens in this world that we do not understand, that seems to have no point, no logic to it. And we are often confused and angry at what can seem so unfair. We ask you to be with us today. Hear us as we open our hearts to you. Look at us in our grief and give us your comfort. May your compassion and your faithfulness draw us close to you in our deepest need. Lord God, we do not always find it easy to make room for you in our busy lives. We do not always find it easy to recognize your presence. We do not always find it easy to trust, to believe, or to have faith. But Lord, we need you now. We need to know that you are here, that you are sharing our pain, that you do understand, and that you will love us, hold us, and walk with us no matter what. We give thanks for all those who, like Doris, are beyond the storms of this world and have come to the haven of rest. Though our faith may be weak, we reach out to you, for you are almighty. Help us to listen for your words in the Scriptures. In them you have given us promises to hold on to when life seems to have no anchor. Father, your love is stronger than death. Help us as we hear your promises to believe them and to receive the comfort they offer. Fill us with hope and peace in believing, so that we may have hope through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first reading is Psalm 23, which I'm sure will be well known to many of you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In our second reading, we hear these words from Paul's letter to the early church in Rome, where he asks a key question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And finally, let's hear some words of Jesus from Matthew's Gospel, words which I'm sure would have appealed to Doris with the great love which she had for little children. One day, children were brought to Jesus in the hope that he would lay hands on them and pray over them. The disciples shooed them off, but Jesus intervened. Let the little children alone. Don't prevent them from coming to me. God's kingdom is made up of people like these. And after laying hands on them, he departed. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And I would now invite Stuart to come forward to present his tribute to his mum.
Sorry, I hope I can get through this without getting upset. Anyway, this is a celebration of the life of Doris Helen Hope, formerly Rarity. She was born to John Rarity and Anne, who was formerly Fowler, which is where my middle name comes from, in the Royal Maternity Hospital, Edinburgh, on the 21st of September, 1920. She passed away to all intents and purposes at home, as was her wish, 101 years and 8 months, almost exactly, later. Now, for a very compressed century of the life and times of Doris, her very early years were spent in Nidri, in Winchborough, that's the connection there, then in Kirkliston. Her wee brother, John David Rarity, was born 27th September 1922, a couple of years between them, almost the same when she died. By age 5, she was into dancing, and her photograph in her dance dress has been hanging at the top of the stairs in number 64 for the past 50 years. I know, I put it up there. Between then and her marriage to Don in December 1943, she went to school in Kirkliston, loved the dancing class, enjoyed the Kirkliston environs, and spent a whole lot of time causing her mother grief. After she left school, she went to work as a draper's assistant in Smalls of Princes Street. Then the Second World War came along, and she joined the ATS, attaining the rank of sergeant. She met Don at this time, a sergeant in the Royal Army Pay Corps. They married in December of 1943 in St. Andrew's Church in George Street. After the war, the whole family moved to Stapley Avenue in Portobello. Don and Jack Sr. worked at the British Road Services in Seafield. Around 1950, the house was just too cramped. Don and Doris moved to 130 Craig and Tinney Avenue in Portobello. My Uncle Jack and then Auntie Doreen, they moved to Kirstorfen, and my granddad and grandma moved to Nine Grange Road here in Broxburn. I arrived on Halloween of 1948. From 1953 to 1962, there were picnics in the Moorfoot or Lammermuir Hills, or visits to the BRS depots in the Borders, and very occasionally to Gala Shields to visit my Uncle Bob and Auntie Jet Davidson and the Roseboroughs. And also at that time, I spent many weekends at Grange Road. So Broxburn I know only too well. My Uncle Jack and Auntie Doreen had 4 children, and I thank John for being here today, and also his son Dickon. Not quite sure where they are, but we'll see. She enjoyed their visits when they came up to Edinburgh. Her wee brother and the family moved far away to Bolton, and then even further south to the Swindon area. Unfortunately, we did not see much of my dad's family, who actually came from Sale in Manchester. Don's brother, my Uncle Harold, and my Auntie Josie lived down south. I think it was Frimley near Camberley, but Martin, yeah, okay, I saw a head nod. Right. So we only saw them infrequently. They had two sons, Martin and David, and I would like to thank Martin for being here today, and also his wife, Leanne, for both of them for staying in touch with my mum over the years. Much appreciated. 1962, things changed. Jack Sr. had passed away, and my dad's parents were long departed. We went off to Llandudno in North Wales. Doris did not settle there, as she missed her mum. So we returned to Scotland in 1963, moving into 40 Alexander Street in Uphall. My dad worked for John Russell of Linlithgow. Doris worked part-time at my Uncle Harry and Auntie Mary Dow's grocery and newsagent's shop in Kirkliston. Went to the Women's Guild and knitted a lot. Still a lot in the house. Around the summer of 1966, we moved to the newly built Scottish Special Houses up in Dechmont. Don and Doris started their overseas holiday adventures, ploughing through a multitude of package holiday brochures every year. My mum really looked forward to those holidays, as she could coax Don onto the dance floor, as she just loved to dance, but you can guess he didn't. Anyway, he did his best, like me. Rimini and Florence in Italy, Benidorm and Marbella in Spain, and Tenerife were their favourite locations. Sun, sea, dancing, or entertainment at night, all inclusive. In 1968, Don and Doris celebrated their 25th wedding anniversary, but it was a modest celebration, mainly with family and relatives. After 1970, it was really just Don and Doris in Dechmont. My grandma moved out of Grange Road when the North Stuartfield scheme was built around 1970 and had a house in the road down the road from number 64. Doris applied for a house in North Stuartfield and at 6 months later, she was allocated number 64, where she has stayed for the past 50 years. November 74, our first grandson Samuel arrived, but unfortunately only a few months afterwards my grandma Anne passed away. October 75, her second grandson Roger arrived. Then in December 1980, her third grandson Richard. Throughout the 70s and 80s, everything continued as before, but augmented by weekend visits to Edinburgh to do the shops and have a lunch out. The grandsons went to boarding school in Scotland, with many of their half terms spent with their grandma and granddad. Trips to Aberdour and B. Craig's became the thing, but apparently were not without several hair-raising events. Not much changed there. Anyway, 1983, Don and Doris celebrated their 40th wedding anniversary at the British Hotel South Queensferry, with many of the family being present. Don passed away in April 1991, but Doris kept going and spent 31 years on her own at number 64, which I find quite remarkable. I know, I don't think I could have done it anyway. She kept herself busy with the Women's Guild, knitting, baking, trips by bus to Edinburgh, and dancing class, two or even three times a week, which kept her hale and hearty. I would like to thank all those who took her to and from the dancing. She really appreciated that kindness. She loved little children most of all. They cheered her up. Too many to mention here, but she always looked forward to seeing the children at the play park when she went for her rollator walks around the houses. She was thrilled to bits when her four great-grandchildren arrived, Matilda, Struan, Selma and Callie. And that was between 2005 and 2017. She had a multitude of really good friends. So card games, caravan holidays, short holidays to Blackpool for dancing, and bus outings were quite common. But unfortunately, these dwindled away over the years. Yeah. By 2015, she was feeling her age, but still refused to go into a home or sheltered housing. Community services provided her with everything she needed to stay in number 64, which she was truly grateful for. Doris had good friends visit or call nearly every week to see how she was doing. She loved when people visited, and as my dear friend Ray found out, she could easily blather on for a couple of hours about the old times, especially over a cup of tea and a bit of cake. She was house proud, had to be well turned out, and always look her best. This was Sandra's domain, keeping her hair perfect for many years, then doing even more for her domestically, and especially making the soup that kept her going at the end, and occasionally taking her over to Harry Ramsden's in Queensferry to enjoy the view, stroll with a rollator along the seafront and enjoy a big plate of fish and chips. She was independent, but she could not have done without our great friend Evelyn to take her to church on Sundays, visit her for a coffee, and help her around the shops, often followed by a bacon roll and a coffee at the cafe. But latterly, Evelyn just did the shopping, as she was just too unsteady and too frail. She had a care package with SCRT, Constance Care, which was indispensable for her well-being. Hazel deserves special mention as her favourite carer, being with her since the beginning. There are several others, such as Lorraine and latterly David, and I would take this opportunity to thank all of them for taking good care of my mum. I'd also like to thank all at Careline, who kept a stealthy eye on my mum and answered her emergency calls when she got into difficulties. Also the district nurses and hospital nurses who attended my mum in her last months. Her wee brother passed away in August 2019, and I thought she might follow on quickly, as she loved him dearly. But no, she soldiered on. My Auntie Doreen had always been the news channel for the Rarity family, as her brother was a man of few words. Doreen passed away last year, and I again wondered if she would stay with us much longer. Then on that Friday morning, she finally succumbed, passing away quietly in Tippett Hill House at about 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, the 21st of May, 2022. I think she was happy with this. She had seen and spoken to most of her friends and family during that week, knew that I was on the way, even confirming the number of the house key box for me and for Roger when we came up. I believe she wanted us to remember her as she was, hale and hearty. Loving and smiling and waving to us as we pass by. So I trust she is in a happy place and will remain forever, the warm-hearted and well-intentioned person that we all knew and loved. Rest in peace, Mum. Love you.
Thank you very much for that moving tribute, Stuart. And now let's just take a few moments to gather our thoughts and to remember Doris as we listen to some music played by the organist. And now let us continue to remember Doris in a prayer of thanksgiving. Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer once again. Let us pray. Gracious God, we praise you for all that you have done through Jesus Christ. In your love for the world, you gave him to be our Saviour, to live our life, to bear our griefs, to die our death upon the cross. And you brought him back from death with power and glory and gave him full authority in heaven and on earth. We thank you that he conquered sin and death for us and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. And we praise you for the great company of the faithful whom he brought through death to behold your face in glory. For the assurance and hope of our faith, and for those whom you have received into your eternal joy, we give you thanks and praise. For those who have shared this earthly life with us, especially Doris, we thank you. We give thanks for her life, her love of dancing and Scottish music, her love of family, which meant so much to her. We give particular thanks for all she was to those who knew her best. We thank you for all the memories she leaves behind. And now that you have called her to yourself, help us to be content to release her into your care. Don't let our hearts be troubled, neither let us be afraid. Comfort us in the grief of parting, and help us to bear ourselves as Christian men and women for whom death is swallowed up in victory. Gracious God, strengthen and support those whose love for Doris was dearest, whose loss is greatest. We ask especially that you be with her son Stuart, her grandson Samuel, Roger and Richard, her great-grandchildren Matilda, Strew and Selma and Callie, and with all the wider family circle. We remember too Doris's circle of friends and her neighbours, and all those who cared for her at home and in hospital. Help them all in the days that lie ahead. For all who mourn, set their troubled hearts at rest, banish all their fears, and hold them in the comfort of your peace, which is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. For all who mourn her passing, be with them and give all your comfort this day. Lord God, give us faith to look beyond the grave to the living hope, knowing that Doris is now with you, resting in your holy presence and cared for by you. For yours is the glory for ever and ever. Amen. We now stand to sing, if we're able, our second hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Please be seated. And now a closing prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, so great and so understanding, Father, so gentle and so loving, we turn to you now. Be our courage, our strength, and our hope. Hold us in our sadness. Deal gently with our brokenness, and assure us now of your peace and love. Gracious God, by your power you gave us life, and in your love you are giving us new life in Jesus Christ. We entrust Doris to your safekeeping, in the faith of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who died and rose again to save us and to bring us all to a joyful resurrection and the glory of your eternal kingdom. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.